We show mercy to those around us as our Father in heaven has shown mercy to us. And so this morning, a story and a sermon about what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, reading from the English Standard Version, beginning at verse 12. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. This morning, just three brief thoughts about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It means, first of all, to follow Jesus Christ. That should seem obvious. It means to follow Jesus Christ, to be like him, to learn from him, to walk with him, to be his friends. Luke begins by telling a short story about the calling of the 12, and the verbs in this story tell us everything that we need to know. Jesus prayed, he continued in prayer, he called his disciples, he chose from among them 12, he named them apostles, those who are sent out to tell others about him. Now, you and I are not apostles in the sense that we see here, but there are some parallels. Jesus chooses us. He calls us. He sends us out to represent him. And all the while, Jesus prays for us. The 12 are all mentioned by name. Jesus knows us by name. Each of us is important to him. We see Jesus in action along with his friends, verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples. Jesus stood with his friends, and he began to help those who were around them. He's teaching, he's healing, he's comforting those who are troubled. He's giving people a reason to live and to hope for something better in life. All the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Isn't this what we all want from Jesus? To hear him. To be healed, to touch him, and to experience the power of his presence. We need his word, his voice giving us direction in life. We need to hear what he says to us. We need what Francis Schaeffer calls substantial healing. We're all broken, we're all damaged, we are all out of balance, unbalanced in some way. We all have demons that haunt us and cause us pain. And we need to feel that we're not alone. We need to feel that the hand of the Lord is upon us. It's what we need, and it's what the world around us needs. Jesus calls us to follow him so that we can share this treasure with our neighbors. Now, the mention of Judas Iscariot in verse 16, who became a traitor, it reminds us of the need for each of us to keep on following Jesus. It's a great mystery. Divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Jesus knows each of us by name. He calls us. He gathers us around him. It's all of his sovereign grace. And yet, mysteriously, each one of us is responsible for what we do with Jesus. We either follow him faithfully, or we live as traitors. Again, what does it mean to be his disciple? It means to choose the right path in following Jesus Christ. Luke now turns from this short story to a sermon. If we were in the Gospel of Matthew, we would call this what? The Sermon on the Mount. But here in Luke, we're told that it was a level place. It's a plain. It's the same sermon, but they're looking at it from a different perspective. And here Jesus is talking about two paths that lie through life. He begins and ends his sermon as it's recorded here, showing us these two paths. And all along the way, he encourages us to choose the best path. He begins with strong words of grace and then some very blunt words of warning. Here's the two ways of going through life. There's the way of blessing or there's the way of woe. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you. But then surprisingly, we have these woes that we don't hear in the Sermon on the Mount. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Right up front in this sermon, Jesus is saying, the choice is yours. Here are two paths that you can take through life. There's God's blessing, there's God's benediction, blessed, and then there's the way of disappointment and pain. To feel God's smile upon you, or to feel God's frown. And then Jesus not only begins this way, but he ends this sermon with some vivid illustrations that are taken from nature to show us these two paths, that there are only these two paths that you will take through life, and that the choice is yours. One path is where you find the blind. Bad trees, rotten fruit, evil treasures, houses with no foundation, houses that are tumbling down. The other path is where you can clearly see the way. There are good trees, good fruit, good treasure, solid, well-built houses that can withstand any storm. And clearly, Jesus is calling us in this sermon to choose one way or the other. Choose the best. Choose what is truly good and what is beautiful and substantial. Choose life as God intended for you to enjoy it. Don't settle for what is rotten or won't last. Have you chosen a path to take in life? As a Christian, notice that Jesus is addressing the disciples. This is not an evangelistic sermon where he's trying to tell them there's the path that goes to life and a path that goes to death, but he's directly talking to his disciples and showing that as Christians, as followers of him, we can still deviate from what we should be doing. As a Christian, have you chosen the best path in life? Have you chosen not just to become a Christian, but to actually be a Christian, to live a Christian life? Are you consciously choosing to stay on the good path every day? If you've read John Bunyan's Christian allegory, Pilgrim's progress. You know that Christian got in trouble, struggling with doubt, struggling with dark thoughts, the devil's attacks. He got in trouble when he deviated from the right path, when he left the path that led straight from the cross to the celestial city. Jesus is calling us to choose the good path, God's best. And then one last time, what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to follow the character of Jesus Christ. A disciple is not merely one who says that he or she is a disciple. Judas was in that camp. And Jesus says that others will be in that camp. Verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? A Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is not just someone who claims to be one. It's not the one who knows the truth or hears the truth or knows the gospel or who can explain the gospel to another person. It's not the one who has joined a church and engages in a Christian liturgy on a Sunday morning service. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And then he gives this illustration of the house. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, this is what he'll be like, a substantial house that will withstand the storm. But the one who hears and does not do what I say is like the man who built his house without a foundation and is destroyed, ruined by the storm when it comes. And so Jesus presses upon us this necessity for us to be different, to actually do what he tells us to do, what he calls us to do, to have a certain character, to be new people. Notice the very centerpiece of this sermon, right in the center of the sermon, verse 31. It's what the church has called the golden rule. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. But then Jesus defines that further over and over in this sermon. He says, this is what you are to do, particularly do these three things. Love, do good, and give. He summarizes them in verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. That's the character of Jesus Christ. That's the character that his followers are to show. There's a saying that I see floating around on Facebook from time to time, which sounds kind of corny, it probably is, but I think it comes very close to biblical truth. Love everyone and let God sort them out later. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? Love your enemies. Do good to anybody that comes along. Don't worry about if they're going to do good back to you. Give with no expectation that someone's going to give back to you. Love everyone and let God sort them out later. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Jesus said, this is how you will show the world that you are different. that you are his follower. Not that you claim to be different, or that you know how to say, Lord, Lord, and call upon his name, but that you are different. And he goes through, and what use is it if you love only those who love you, or you only do good to those who do good to you, or you only lend to those who are going to give you back and give you 10% interest on top of that? What use is that? You're no different from anybody else. Jesus says, this is how you show the world that you are different. And that's what we're all to be like as Christians. No exceptions. But perhaps we can see a special application for those of you who are called to be teachers, whether parents at home, in your church's Sunday school, whether homeschool or at the Charleston Christian School, or our public school teachers. Isn't this what you want to see in your children and in the students, this character of Jesus Christ? Don't you want for them to develop this image, this character of Christ, for them to develop a love that is so deep and secure in Christ that it extends even to their enemies, those who do not share our worldview? For them to learn the difference between good and evil and to clearly choose to do the good even when you know it's going to be unappreciated. You're not going to get credit for it. And then for them to learn how to give freely rather than go through life always trying to push other people down and take away from them what they have. Isn't that what you want for your children, for your students at school? Isn't it what you want to see in your own life, in your family, your friends, to be shaped into the very image of Jesus Christ, you know, where together we put our faith in him, that we embrace faith and repentance, embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Redeemer, as the one who has been sent to save us from our sins, the one who saves us from sin, but death, from the devil, the one that we can follow in life and see within us by his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, his character, his image being reproduced within us. That image is very clear, showing love for everyone, doing good, giving freely. And perhaps it can be summed up in the one word, as Jesus calls us in verse 36, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Let's pray.